Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hello, hello. This is Recap, the Nation of Fake the Nation bonus podcast, where we recap the shit out of shows that are making a splash in the American cultural conversation. And The Golden Bachelor is one such show. Don't worry, you'll still get regular episodes of Fake the Nation every Thursday. But today is the last episode of The Golden Bachelor, because today we are recapping the finale. And my golden rose, was it a doozy? First, let me introduce you to your wonderful, wonderful panel today. We have joining us for the 1,000,000th time, both of them. This is the 1,000,000th anniversary of both of their appearances on this show in the Fake the Nation universe. First up, we have the incredible comedian. And I didn't ask you how you want to be introduced. So what do you want me to say, Corey?
Oh, I have a new book out right now called Round Here and Over Yonder. Yeah, it makes a wonderful Christmas gift. And me and Trey Crowder narrated the audiobook. So that's how I think you should get it. I'm not sure if the book company likes me saying, I prefer you do this, but that's what I prefer, because I mean.
So, and I'll say on behalf of the publisher, which is really the little guy here,
that
you
Collins,
should go to the most
startup.
Evil corporate place to buy the book. No, go. I always direct people to bookshop.org.
Yes, likewise.
Or indie books. And then also, obviously, the audio. And also, we're Trey Crowder fans here at Fake the Nation. He's been on the show as well. So it's like you're getting a lot of Fake the Nation, vibes in this book that you should immediately be purchasing as a gift.
Well, thank you.
So the wonderful Corey Ryan Forster, thank you so much for joining us. And we're also joined today by this other wonderful podcaster, the host of you have like 100 podcasts.
I know.
And so, Gabe, tell us the name of your podcast.
Yeah, I have Bad With Money, which is a finance podcast where we talk about your feelings as well. I have Just Between Us, which is with my illustrious co-host, Allison Raskin, which is a variety show. And then my new show is with River Butcher, and it's called The New Guys, K-N-E-W. And it's a podcast for everyone by two trans guys.
First of all, again, Allison, River, all just like we love them people at Fake the Nation.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, guys, keep the circle flowing into the extended universe of the people that I love. This is all about who I love.
Exactly. So, the Nagin Farsad extended universe.
Exactly. The Nagin Farsad extended universe. Follow these podcasts. They're so wonderful. I subscribe to two of the three of them, and now I'm reminded that I need to subscribe to the third. I'm so excited for the new podcast with River. That's so awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so folks, before we get into this episode, I just want to remind people that they can go to patreon.com/NagineForsad to support the show, because maybe you're getting like two episodes of a Fake the Nation product in your feed, and maybe you're really excited about that, and maybe you just want to keep, you want to just show the love. So go to fakethenation.com. Sorry, go to patreon.com/NagineForsad to support the show. Now, let us get into the finale of The Golden Bachelor. I'm going to start with the big fat news, and then we'll sort of go backwards and talk about segments of the show, okay? Now, because it's like, obviously, we all know now that the chosen one is Teresa. Teresa's the chosen one, and we can all talk about what we feel about that. But let's just first talk about how it all kind of panned out. Now, the first thing that happens in the episode is that Gary's kids meet Teresa. How did you feel that went?
I thought it went well. I think it's interesting that they chose her to go first. I'm always interested in like the behind the scenes manipulation. Yes. So yes. I think that it's interesting they chose her to go first. I don't know if he had indicated that he was going to choose her, or if it just they pushed that psychologically so that he would go into his date with Leslie like thinking about Teresa. But I thought it went well. I mean, look, she's good at I don't want to say she's a showman, but like, you know what I mean? She's good at that.
She's good at marketing herself.
Yeah, she's good at marketing herself.
Right. She's clear on her brand identity.
Yes, yes, totally. Yes. As the stable
Which
one.
Is what everyone wants to hear about their grandmother. It's really good. Corey, what did you think about the meeting of the family?
Well, I'm the same as Gabe in that, like, it's hard for me to watch things like this without putting on my, like, producer or behind the scenes hat and like kind of going, okay, how many takes was this? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because
right.
I'm watching it and I'm going, okay, the kids seem excited for their dad, you know, but like they're definitely acting different than I would be acting if I was having to watch my dad, you know, pork a bunch of gilfs on national TV.
Right.
but that's why I lean back to like, okay, I wish I could see all the takes when like one of the kids' faces was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. And they had to cut it out. You know what I'm saying? But I agree with the Teresa branding stuff. You know, definitely someone who I know, no matter how this pans out, will have a successful cooking segment on Instagram, you know, at least.
Right.
But yeah, you know, again, the kids didn't kind of act like I would have acted, but that's to be understood, I suppose.
Do you feel the kids were, what do you mean by that? Like, they were more polished than you would have been?
Yeah,
because you're normally such a fucking disaster?
Yes.
Oh, 100%, my God. 100%.
And it would just like, I when I watch things like this, I die of secondhand embarrassment anyways all the time.
That's
part of me really enjoys that. Like, I like cringing when there's no actual consequences. You know what I'm saying?
But
for the kids, there are consequences. And I'm just like, I would be falling. I wouldn't have gone on. I wouldn't have gone on at all. I would have told my dad, you don't get to do this. I mean, he wouldn't have listened to me, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
My dad would not pass a background check, but he would be an incredible golden bachelor.
My dad would be the worst one.
Is your dad a bachelor?
No, but I very much want my aunt to go on because she's beautiful. But she's not. Her husband died last year, so I don't know that that's the vibe for her.
Quite
but,
ready.
Yeah.
Right. But they are looking.
I know. But it would also be like, I think also I agree with Corey that it would be like awkward. A lot of it was very awkward. And I didn't get a sense of the daughters really, or like what they were about, which sometimes you get like a personality vibe from the family. And I just wasn't getting anything.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about Gary's daughters, I feel like it's like they were coached, or they kind of read a little bit like little league coaches or something, where they're just like, really just are like, okay, now we're going to ask you about this. Now we're going to ask you about this. Now we want to make sure that you have like, or they're just like, you know, they're like management flow experts or something. Like there's something about them just felt like very good at handling this thing that even the granddaughters. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, Corey, I was shocked by like, how well they did and how much media coaching did they get to like make that happen? Or are they just like naturally good?
Yeah, I think for next season, what they need to do is do like how the NFL does and have them mic'd up even when the camera's not
yes,
on. And
yes.
Because trust me, I've worn a lapel mic a lot in my 20-year career. And I will tell you this, 99.9% of the time, I immediately forget I have that son of a bitch on. Immediately. Yep. So they've already signed the consent form to be recording. It's not illegal. Give us the audio from when they walk out away from the camera.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, what a bitch. Yeah totally.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I also just want to say, in my career having lapel mics on, I feel like I'm always going to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing.
I know.
Loudly.
Always.
Just loudly going to the bathroom. That's what I feel like is always happening. Okay, so now, one thing I wanted to talk about was when by the way, the setup of like everyone's watching this in a live show and the timeline, I don't know how many months have transpired between this actually happened, but then the live show was happening and that whole thing.
It seems like it was a while.
Like several weeks, I'm imagining. And like just knowing what we know about editing timelines, it probably was several weeks. But So what happens then is, so the live show is watching. So you get to see some of the reactions of the other contestants and the kids and all this shit. What happens then is after the daytime meet and greet with the family, then Gary goes to her room and they have like a, you know, tete-a-tete. And one thing that Leslie says to, sorry, not Leslie, Teresa says to Gary is, I wouldn't want you to choose me unless you're one, unless you 1000% wanted me. So she sort of like lays down the hammer a little bit of like, this better be real. Like, I'll be devastated if it isn't, but I don't, I'm solid as a human being. It is what that kind of felt like. What'd you think of that moment and their general interaction that night?
Well, what Gary says after that, if I'm not mistaken, is, oh, I wouldn't make the decision unless I'm 1,000, you know, percent in. And I and as soon as he said that, by the way, I thought Gary was a psychopath this whole time. I'm just saying.
Really?
Yeah, because everybody, he's very politician-like to me. He's got the anybody, and this is going to be a hell of a thing coming from me because I've been accused of this, but anyone with a perma smile in this economy, in this economy, I just don't trust them. They're hiding something. He reminds me, I can't remember the politician. He reminds me of Gary Johnson. That's who he reminds me of. Even though I'm
what is Aleppo?
So anyways, what was I saying? Oh, he said I wouldn't do this unless I was 1,000%. And I'm like you going, what's the timeline here? How can you go from I'm not 1,000% to in 12 hours, you know, okay, I'm 1,000%. Like it was just you know.
Here's my theory. Okay, once she said that she was like really smart and financially stable, he was like, "Oh fuck, like this is the more smart choice. Mm-hmm. Because Leslie's been married and has a couple times and has been like sort of emotional and is like younger, like 10 years younger, and then I thought that after, I always look at like after the overnights and he and Leslie seemed like kind of weird and like weren't laying in bed touching. And he and Teresa were both like, were laying in bed sort of touching and like being more affectionate. I got the sense that he had a better time with Teresa in the overnights. And that's what made him choose it immediately, like 100%.
I have a question because this is my first experience watching the any form of The Bachelor or pretty much any reality show. And I did it because I love Nagin so much and she asked me to. And I was like, I'm fully committed. All right. So you were talking about their alone times or whatever. See, I felt the opposite because in the episode before the finale or whatever, like, I was convinced he was going with not Teresa, but Leslie. I was like,
Leslie,
matter of fact, it threw me off so much because like, I was like, holy shit, he's telling her right now that he's going to get engaged to her. And I was like, this whole thing's over. It's only the third quarter. What is going on? And I was like, is this how they always do it? And like, I was convinced I was watching the finale, even though it wasn't the finale, but I thought he had, I don't know, the date with the alone time with Teresa started off weird because he'd been with Leslie telling her like, I think we're going to do this,
that was
whatever.
Really awkward. Yeah.
But you're right in that as soon as Teresa was like, by the way, one day I just started fucking around on E-Trader and I became a day trader and I leveraged that into this. His eyes shot up. He's like, ooh, wee, independent woman. And then she mentioned, she's like, but I've always said, if I found the right man, I would stop working. And I noticed a little micro micro, what's it called when you make a face but barely micro expression. I'm an idiot. And where he was just like, oh, I just found out you were a successful day trader, please don't quit working, this is what's making me like you the most.
Right. Yeah.
Or just, I mean, and this is gross, or it's just that like the reality of them retiring together in a comfortable way became so much more realistic.
Agreed.
Right.
Agreed.
Because you can't fucking go to Aruba like on a budget. Right. You know what I mean?
He was like, Leslie's a mess. That's why I think he didn't choose Faith, because he was like, I'm not moving to a horse farm.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. So before we get into Leslie, let's take a quick break so we can hear from our sponsors. And when we get back, Leslie. Mm-hmm. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. And we are back and we are ready for Leslie. Okay, so the Leslie day went radically different. I mean, maybe not on the kid angle. She started meeting the grandkids. They had a nice little interaction. The granddaughter sort of died. I mean, died. Oh, my God. The granddaughter
There were some people
cried,
that died on
cried.
The show. That's for sure.
No. Oh, well, the one person's friend.
But also just a bunch of their widowers and widows.
Sure, right.
The granddaughter cried. Obviously, she misses her grandmother, and also she is thinking, like, I want my grandfather to be happy. There's just, like, tears that you – really genuine tears about hearing someone right. love your grandfather the way you do, you know?
Yeah.
And that seemed kind of, like, to work like a charm in terms of, like, you know, upping Leslie's prospects. I mean, what did you guys think about Leslie's interaction with the kids?
Well – the tears, I felt, could have been a lot of reasons. Number one, as I mentioned earlier, just sheer, she's young, sheer embarrassment of being on camera, all these emotions coming out. But also, yeah, like, yeah. the whole thing I kept thinking the whole time was, like, dude, kids deal with, like, enough bullying as it is whenever nothing's going wrong. And, like, I can't imagine, right. I cannot imagine being a kid and all of my friends watching my grandma.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
That's crazy. Am I wrong? Like, yeah. it felt weird.
Not wrong. No, you're not wrong.
I mean, I hope that it works to their benefit, like, how fun, you know?
Sure.
The reputation of the show is, oh, my God, what a great season of television. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I feel like it's going to work to their benefit. That said, it's a horrible nightmare. But also, one thing they said, and I don't know, Gabe, if you noticed this, one of the daughters was like, I question, because Leslie started crying talking to the daughters.
Yeah.
Saying, like, I've never had the death till death do you part, a sentiment we've heard her say before.
Yeah.
And she starts crying. And then the daughters question, when they then talk to Gary, question Leslie's emotions. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sad and it sucks. And I know a lot of older women who have had Leslie's experience, and it gets really draining, and it gets really, it really gets to you. And, like, especially getting married twice and thinking, okay, this is it. Like, everything she was saying about, like, I just want to be chosen. And, like, I understand all of that. But if I was a kid, I would see that as a bit of a red flag, because she's putting all of her self-worth and validation in the hands of a man, like, yet again. And yes. And I would see that as, like, oh no.
Yeah.
I know. Because it's sad. It sucks.
It's, you know, and I don't know if you had this, Corey, as, like, a teen or whatever. I felt those emotions, like, I'm never chosen and all that stuff, as a teen. And then I kind of went to college and it got, you know, I started getting more confidence, blah, 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 blah. I started fucking some dudes like that gay. But, like, it went away, like, that I'm not chosen thing. You know what I mean?
But she's had a tough life. She's had a tough time.
And I'm not saying that she's wrong to still feel that way. I'm just surprised that she still feels that way. That there's something about age that you hope gives you the wisdom to not feel those things anymore. And she still feels those things.
Well, I mean, after two divorces, like, I think she's had a rough go. I think men have not historically treated her well.
Yeah.
I think she's had a rough go too, but, you know, and grandkids are smarter than we give them credit for, but perhaps when you hear a 70-year-old woman who is very attractive, financially has it all together, clearly has a good head for business, saying, no one ever chooses me, you might think to yourself, I wonder why that is. You know what I mean?
You think, like, is that what we know about Leslie? That she has
do we know that she's stable?
Oh, I'm so stupid. My brain was on Teresa.
Okay, yeah, take it back.
Even without that, though, point stands. Very attractive woman, and you've lived this long life. So, if you're 22, 23, whatever, in your 30s, and it's like, I've never been chosen. It's like, well, it's still early in life, but, you know, goddamn, you get in your 70s, you've never been chosen. Come on now. What's going on?
I just think men have treated her shittily, and maybe that is because she's attractive, and I don't know. But, like, I get it. I know this type of person, and, like, it's sad and it sucks. But you can't romanticize this one man who's treated you nicely.
True.
Yeah. And also, you can't you can't feel that like, oh, if this one man doesn't choose me, it's another, yeah, it's an example of this pattern of my life. You know what I mean? It's like the odds just don't work that way.
I feel so bad.
Well, let's talk about the gut-wrenching scene that kind of happens later. Mm-hmm. Then Gary goes over to her room. She gives him, my heart skips, just even talking about this, where she gives him a gift, and the gift is, I have a lot of questions about this gift, because the gift is a book where she had screen grabs of the footage, essentially, of their mm-hmm. memories together mm-hmm. in a book. And I'm like, did she ask the producers to print out the, I mean, I have just a lot of questions on how those screen grabs happened. But it's photos of some of their memories from the series. And then a lot of empty pages for them to fill out together in the rest of their lives, having memories. And
they always have the one of the people do that. Don't they always have that?
Do they? I don't know.
Yeah, they always have somebody. And it's usually not the person they're going to choose. So they almost set this person up for embarrassment.
Right.
But yeah, they almost always have someone who did this. They provide them with photos or, you know.
Right.
It seems very false to me always, but yeah.
Obviously, because we know she didn't have a camera. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's
right.
Just so ridiculous.
I would never try to speak for all men. I will say that we all suck. Every single one of us, even the good ones, we just suck less. But if you take away the context of this show, and I'm a dude, and I've been seeing a girl, and not exclusively, by the way, not exclusively at all, for a couple months, and one day she comes up to me and gives me a goddamn scrapbook of our time together, yeah, I'm out. You know what I mean? But again, in the context of the show, it makes sense. And as Gabe said, it was probably a setup.
I have made a scrapbook for someone, but it was after 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. That's fine. Yes, that is okay.
Yes,
I'm talking about
that's
months.
Fine.
Is totally. Yeah. 3 years is plenty of time to put enough
to
scraps
pictures
in the book. Yeah.
I want to say that the most I've ever done that felt insane to me is I wrote almost a love memo. I don't even want to call it a letter.
A memo.
And that was after 4 months or something, and we were in the throes of, you know,
that's fine.
It was mm-hmm. It felt decent at the time. It also is I do so little of those kinds of things. I just act what? I don't have emotions. Fuck you. You know what I mean? That's how I am. What, you know, that's my courtship phase. But it felt even insane to do that. So she gives him this book. He's weird. And then he leaves the room and she's like, do you have something to tell me? And he's like, no. And then he leaves the room. And then he goes and cries on some stairs. And then he comes back. And I don't know. What'd you guys think?
Well, I'm glad he told her before the thing, before being on the
before
platform.
The ceremony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice for her. I know that definitely softened the blow. Probably robbed us of a really high quality reality show moment when she fainted and fell apart there. But I got to tell you, you know, and I'd been feeling this way for a long time. I ain't having any more Gary's tears. I don't believe him. He cries too much. You know what I mean? He's crying over everything. Oh, you were the love of my life. Oh, you were the love of my life. He's a psychopath. I'm telling you.
But Corey, I feel, okay, just as and to be a tears defender here, I cry a shitload. Mm. And I'm like, oh, are me and Gary cut from the same cloth? We just fucking cry all the time.
Yeah, but you're not a white man in this country. We have to fake our tears so often because everything's going so well for us. That's why it's suspect. When you cry, I understand. Someone may have accosted you on a subway. You're a very pretty person. But when a goddamn white man from Indiana starts crying, it's because he realizes he's going to have to vote for Mike Pence. That's when those people start crying.
Yeah.
Can I just also, the only note I wrote down about this scene is, it is painful to watch someone get dumped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was not fun to see. She was legitimately.
Well, because he was like, you're the one. He did say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was saying, I love you. He said, I love you to her first. I always think about, imagine Teresa watching that back. I always think about, okay, So you decided to choose me in 24 hours. You were saying all this stuff to her. You were saying that she was the one.
You were saying all this stuff to both of us. Right.
But he was more effusive about Leslie. And they had that like very dramatic kiss, I think. Like, he was saying that more to her. I feel like the things he was saying to Leslie were not lukewarm, milquetoast. It was like very, very passionate. Very like he went into the thing with Teresa, the overnight date, being like, I don't know. I thought he was going to dump Teresa. Like, it's very, he did lead. She was angry, Leslie, and he did lead her to that.
Yeah. No, she was right to be angry.
Speaking of kissing, not to keep piling on Gary, which I do, but he is one of the more awkward kissers I've ever seen. Both of his lips look like individual bird beaks trying to find a worm. Like, it's like he can never find the lips on the first go. Like, he accidentally hits the chin. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm telling you, this guy is a robot.
In an earlier episode of this recap, we talked about the fact that, like, I learned that I've never seen civilians kiss, really.
Right.
Because this is my first reality TV experience, and civilians do not kiss as well as actors.
That's a great point. This is me, too. You know what?
Yeah.
I bet I kiss like that, too, and I just don't know.
Yeah, you probably look like an idiot when you kiss.
Because I'm not Clooney. Wow. Okay.
Actors are holding angles. They're being told where to put their fucking chin.
I retract.
I mean, it's completely different. It's completely different.
I retract.
Now, let me ask you a question, Gabe. You're more of a Bachelor Nation head. How typical is it for someone to tell both candidates, I love you and I love you? Like, how typical is that?
It used to be really taboo. They used to just be able to be like, I'm falling for you, or I could be in love with you, that kind of thing. And then it really depends on how the show portrays it, right? Like, sometimes people do it and the show portrays it as like, they're the victim, they're like really overcome, you know, they don't know what to do. With Zach and with Clayton, they did like this whole big hullabaloo where it was like so awful that he had said, I love you to all three of them. It was like he was the devil. He was like a terrible person. So it really depends on how the show portrays it. If they don't make a big deal of it, or they portray the lead as like a victim, then the audience goes with that because we're all stupid lemmings. But if if they portray it as like, this person is a psycho and horrible, like they did to Clayton, then it's like, oh my God, he was intimate with all of them, and he said, I love you to all of them. Like, what a horrible person. But if they don't call attention to it, them having overnights, and you think maybe they slept with both of them, was not a big deal. But also with Zach, he was like, I'm not going to have sex on my overnights. He said that, which I was like, don't say that, buddy. They're going to try to get you.
That's when you have sex the most, by the way, is when you say I'm not. It's like, if I ever say I'm not getting drunk tonight, drunkest I've ever been in my life. Every single time.
Right.
Yeah. On that note, and me bringing up earlier that Gary kind of reminded me of a politician. I don't know if y'all noticed this, but in several episodes leading up to, and then in the recap they were doing, there were a couple women who said, I love you to Gary. And like a true politician, he said this, I love you. And he goes, I can feel that as well, which he didn't really say, I love you. And then my absolute favorite, and damn it, I can't remember which one it was. They go, Gary, I love you. And he goes, I can tell. It was very It was so fucking Han Solo in Return of the Jedi, or not. Yeah.
Probably coached him. They probably coached him to not respond to that. You're not really supposed to.
Yeah, sure.
So that's interesting that like there's been a back and forth on the trend of whether or not they say I love you. And I just want to say I love you to multiple people at the same time is very French. As listeners may know, listeners may know I lived in France, and I remember like dating guys who like on date three would be like, je t'aime. And I was like, are you fucking out of your mind? What are we, this is, no, I, this has to like, we have to date for several months for me to ever utter shit like that. And they just throw it away. It's way more casual to say it. So I just want to, in defense of throwing around your I love yous.
Can't get it back.
You're being French.
You know, it's rough. Yeah. It's a tough one.
So, okay, in the end, they don't do the ceremony because, you know, Leslie was spared that embarrassment.
And she says it was so embarrassing, and it's embarrassing to get dumped on TV. She like says that a lot.
You know, I want to say I feel like she handled it pretty well. You know, there were tears and all that, but it's like completely justified tears. I think as far as getting dumped on television goes, that was a good one.
But she was like, what struck me was when he was like, well, I should go.
Yeah. Anyways.
I know. And no, and then he goes to the like a table outside and Jesse comes over and gives him a big hug or whatever. And he's like, I broke a good woman's heart, you know.
And like, this is the worst I've felt since my wife died.
Yeah. Yeah. The quote was, I think the quote was, I haven't felt this bad in a long time, except for when my wife died. But this is a close fucking second. I broke a fucking woman's heart. And it's like, Gary's cursing. Look at this. You know, the veil has dropped a little bit. With the whole, like, when I first saw, you know, like her crying or whatever, my cynical view was, as it always is, like, oh, you don't even know this dude, Jesus Christ, like this, because I know that, like, you know, these things, they stretch out, but like they can be filmed very quickly. You know what I'm saying? A lot of this is happening quicker than we think. But then at the same time, I was like, dude, if you were in this position, even if you didn't actually feel brokenhearted, you would cry for being embarrassed on national television because it's like, I feel like doing The Bachelor and then it being done, like, especially if you don't win, you've now got to go back to your real life and no one is ever going to look at you the same again. You're always going to be the lady that was, you know, on The Bachelor. It's just like when you really want to get laid, you're like, oh, I got to do this. I'm so excited. Then you do it and it's with a person that maybe you don't really care for. And it was the end of the night and you get done and you're like, oh my God, what have I done? That has to be times a million when you go through the whole Bachelor experience and then go back to Publix and see the lady at the cheese station. And she's just like, so how have you been?
That's what I would, that's why I wouldn't be good on this show. Cause they speak so freely about, like, so sure about being in love, about how, like, the connection. I would be like, they'd be like, how do you feel? And I'd be like, you know, cause I don't want to be embarrassed. I'd be like, yeah, I mean, it's good, but you know, I mean, could turn anyway. I don't want to be so sure about it. Cause you know what I mean? Could be anything. I think like there have been as a Bachelor Nation person, there have been people who have turned it around and become the hero. And I think that's what happened for her too, is like the audience loved her. The audience was on her side. They probably want her to be the Golden Bachelorette. Like there's something to be said about not winning that can actually be winning.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We don't know what the opportunities are going to be in the future. And we even saw in the like sneak peek of another Bachelor season, them using the Bachelorette, the women from the Golden Bachelorette in other episodes.
Yep.
As like consultants or whatever those fucking roles are.
Yep.
so I actually texted Fake the Nation alum Selena Kopic, who was on an earlier episode of the recap. And she's a big Bachelor head. And she, I said, what did you think of the finale? And she said that, you know, in the Bachelor series, a good majority of the time, 70% of the time, she surmised, the Bachelor picks the hot one, but not the one that's good for him.
That's true.
And what was really surprising about this finale is that Gary chose not the hot one. I mean, look, they're both hot.
I was
going
to say,
so, like,
all of them were hot.
I know. This is a ridiculous thing, but it just in terms of like
the one that
Leslie
has passion with.
Yeah.
Right. Like the, you know, that Leslie had that more like kind of like free spirit, oh my God, vibe. And What's her face?
Teresa
had more of the stable vibe.
Yeah, and they never choose the stable one because I think when you become the bachelor, you're like, I got to punch out of my league. Like once I've become this, this is the only way I'm going to get someone this hot, you know?
Yes.
Whereas like they never choose the person who like has their own business or like the family goes well or like anything like that. So that was surprising.
Yeah, which it makes total sense because in real life, when you only have a finite amount of time with someone, the attractiveness is the first thing that leads everything. You know what I'm saying? Like 100%. Like to say that, you know, good looks don't have anything to do with anything is just, it's not reality. Again, they were all very good looking. There was, they were all gorgeous.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, and I thought Leslie, right, the second one to go out. Yeah, I mean, I personally found her to be more attractive, but only because she reminded me of Roz from Frasier. Perry Gilpin, who I have a huge and have had a huge crush on my entire life. So I was sad to see her go. Thought he made the wrong call.
Question. You were talking about Faith.
Faith.
I know. But he was like, I don't want to be a horse guy.
Yeah, and hey, listen, if you don't want to be a horse guy, don't get with a horse gal because they will be doing some horse shit. I promise you that.
Well, the other thing that Gary said in the sort of, I think, live interview on stage, he said she knew how to nurture a relationship of 43 years.
That's the big one as well.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that felt like the most telling thing he could say, which is that like, if we're to believe him, which Corey doesn't, but if we're to believe Gary at his word that he's really looking for love, that he's really looking for a partner, and that's what this is about, his calculation has to be, who knows how to have a partnership that will be long-lasting, because I want this to go until I die.
Absolutely.
Teresa.
I was thinking about that. I was like, this is going to suck when the first person from the Golden Bachelor dies. Like, this is going to like be really tough on the nation.
We'll have the same president. For the record.
Corey!
I mean, come on. So then, of course, he asked her to marry. I mean, my first thought when he asked her to marry him was just for both of their sakes. I was just like, prenup, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Prenup. Are we going to do one? Can we make sure that happens?
Yeah.
There's some, wills and shit that need to, I don't want the grandkids to be
screwed,
fucked over in this situation.
Also in their prenup, they would have to have like contractual things about guest appearances on future Bachelors and stuff. Like, you know, their season two bonus. We all know if they come back, they got to get like 10% more. That's all going in there and the will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're going to get married
in like a month.
In a month on television.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's right. January 4th, correct?
Gabe, has that happened before?
Yes, but they haven't done it in a while.
Okay. So,
like, they haven't done a separate special. They had, this is going to sound fake. They had Crystal and Goose, whose name is Chris. I know. And they're already divorced.
Yeah. No shit.
But they had them get married on Paradise.
Okay.
So like on a different show. But they have not done like a wedding special for just those people in a while.
Isn't there one famously that got married very many years ago and they're still together?
Trista and Ryan.
Okay, yeah.
She was like the first bachelorette.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so that one worked. So yeah, because the other thing that Selena mentioned was that, so we talked about the ratio on the Bachelor is that, you know, a wide majority of them pick the hot one. But on The Bachelorette, the majority picks the stable one.
Yes.
Is that right, Gabe?
Yes. I would say there's been a trend in the recent years where that's not true. Like, I think Rachel Recchia didn't pick. I mean, it's hard. She picked the one that she had more doubts about. I think Michelle chose the hot one. And made a mistake there. There's been like a more of a trend of the women picking the hot one. I would say like Rachel Lindsay chose the stable one and they're still together.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, women are smarter. Like, That's
what I'm saying. I think if the choice, which is why when people are online dating and stuff like that, I was so good at online dating. I've talked about it on the show before. And one of the things I always say is men are not good at determining who's good for them.
No.
But women are actually good at it.
Yeah.
And just to like paint a ridiculous gendered brush on everything, I find that it tends to be that women are better at it. And so like be the one to do the reaching out when you're online dating. Do not be the one that just passively responds to requests or whatever, because that is like not a person those people are not necessarily making informed decisions.
Don't you think, though, that that's just a result of years of us following gender norms and it just being in our psyche, like television and all this stuff, where like a dude, he's like, I'm going to go for the hot one because at the end of the day, I'm going to be the one working and doing everything anyway. So who gives a shit? You know, I'm not saying
it's
this is right.
It's the trophy wife, like the old sort of trophy wife.
Whereas the woman, and I don't know how it goes on The Bachelorette or all these things, like the woman throughout history, not now, whatever, has been like, looks don't really matter. I need to be taken care of. You know what I'm saying?
But
again, I'm not suggesting this is right, but like it's hard to shake how we've been as a culture for a millennia.
Yeah, I think a lot of the women now have their own careers and their own, like Rachel Recchi is a pilot, Michelle's a teacher. The big problem now is that everyone becomes an influencer. So they leave the show and they become an influencer. Like Michelle's no longer teaching. Charity is still with, she chose the stable guy and she's still with him, but she immediately went on Dancing with the Stars. Like they no longer do the job that they went on the show doing.
The show is a pathway. Yeah. The show is a pathway to something else.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to close on this thing, which is that the Hollywood Reporter did a tell-all.
Yeah.
Mm.
Did you guys read this article? Okay, so for those of you who don't know.
I read three articles, but I don't know if one of them was this one.
I read part of it.
There's a piece about Gary that basically his golden history is not as golden.
Sure.
Yes,
he had basically lied about having a girlfriend in the 8 years. He did have a couple of girlfriends, and one of them, I guess, was quite serious.
But did he lie? He just didn't. He was skirted it.
See, politician.
Right. So to my feeling as a viewer is that he made it sound like he never had a girlfriend in these 8 years.
Yeah.
He said he hadn't had sex in a long time. That's what he said. Long time. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Right. But what does that mean?
Exactly.
Skirted. He did a politician. Oh my God. Your HeadGum host just popped on and said it was a month after Tony's death, which feels shady.
That's super fucking shady.
Yeah, well, thank you, Andrew. That's right. It was a month after Tony.
I don't know
if that's shady.
No, there is a thing where widows and widowers rebound hard.
Yes. They do. That's true.
A friend of mine's mom died recently. And I was like, how's your dad doing? And she's like, oh my God, he's on, you know, Tinder. And he's in his 70s. And it's a fucking disaster. He's just like going out with anyone. I think that's a really natural response because you're so at lost
for
at
dudes
sea.
Especially
and for men if especially. If you get to a certain age and you've been with a woman for a long time, you don't know how to do anything.
Dad doesn't know how to do shit,
so you need a new woman very quickly because you're like wake up and you're like, wait, how do I cook, how do I do laundry? Like they don't know because they went from their mom to their wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. If something happened to my mom, my dad would need someone the next day or he's dead in a week.
Agreed.
If something happened to my dad, my mom would live her best fucking life.
I agree. Same. Absolute same. Absolute same.
Yeah, I have to be honest, that's the case with my parents as well.
Yep.
And it's crazy. And what's crazy, like my dad is a fucking surgeon. It's not like he doesn't know how to do things. You know what I mean?
It's our societal norms.
He's an extremely elite functioning dude, but like he can't handle regular daily life.
Yes.
Like, without my mom around. And it's
correct.
Fascinating. Okay, so do we think that there was another lie in the story, which was a little bit, it felt like not a big deal. He's had a bunch of like kind of odd jobs since he's retired at age 55.
I don't care
he
about
installed
that.
Installed jacuzzis, whatever. Yeah, I guess my broader question is, how much of a salacious piece was this? The reporting that they found that his history was not exactly as it was portrayed on the show. Do you guys care at all?
Not really. I mean, I'd already had my mind made up that he was a T-100 Terminator psychopath that was, you know, thinly veiled. So it just kind of confirmed things for me. But like, I don't know, him having odd jobs after he retired. Like, dude, I know dudes that like, you know, my friend's dads who like, they retired and are well off, but they can't, they just want something to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it's like, it's not about the money at all. It's just like, I need a purpose. This is, yeah. You know, and you know, maybe you, it, when you're set financially, you don't have to stick with one of them. It's like, you do this. Oh, I didn't like it. I'm going to go over here. So like, yeah. That doesn't raise any red flags to me at all.
I felt annoyed. I didn't finish the piece, but like there was the part where it was like, he's not really a restaurateur. He sold his Mr. Franchise. Quick hamburger franchise. Yeah. But here's the thing. It was like he sold his franchise after he worked his way up from high school. And I was like, okay, this is reading as classist. Because like
right. You
worked your way up from high school to manage a franchise. That's actually awesome.
Like, that's yeah. way more yeah. impressive that's than actually, just I use family money.
Right. That's yeah. actually really cool. And then he yeah. sold it and made money. That seems awesome to me.
Also, that to me, that seems like someone I would describe as a restaurateur.
Right.
Someone who
right,
took right, a restaurant.
Right. You know? They're just like, but it's not like a, you know, a French bistro that he like right. built. It's like,
right.
you guys
it's not
are
a Michelin
assholes.
Starred. Yeah.
You guys are assholes.
The other thing that I thought was really telling was that, you know, they were like trying to make this article seem very damning, right? And
yeah.
one of the things they did is interviewed people with whom he installed jacuzzis. And they were like, yeah, he was like a super great guy.
His coworkers loved him.
Right. Yeah, the coworkers loved him. So I'm like, you guys are having a real hard time making this like that bad.
There's
like,
been a slew. So there's been a trend where the men who come on the show, their exes come out and just destroy them.
Eviscerate, yeah.
Aaron B., it happened to Clayton. This woman pretended she was pregnant. There was like a whole scandal where she pretended she was pregnant and released all their text messages. There's like a Bachelor producer, ex-producer, who's trying to expose Blake Horseman, who I know these all sound fake.
Horseman.
who they were trying to expose him for having a girlfriend. Like it's a trend now that these guys, it's like, well, they were dating someone before they went on the show, or they were on dating apps before they went on the show. And it's like, yeah.
No shit.
Who cares?
Yeah, like whatever. It's completely fine.
But it's like a big trend.
Right. This entire experience has been fascinating. I want to hear last thoughts from you guys. I don't know, predictions about whether or not this marriage will work, or I don't, whatever you want to say. And also an extra special question for Corey, which is, would you ever watch another one of these?
If you ask me to, yes. I will say this though, because yeah. I shit on the whole thing, but that's just me being a cynical comedian trying to do
sure,
bits.
Sure. Yeah.
I was surprised at how much I didn't hate it. And
the women were awesome.
They were yeah. awesome. And you know what? I think it's that I've never watched a full episode before, but like maybe my mom or somebody was watching the original Bachelor and I just wasn't into it. It's because I'm more interested in the older women because
yes.
they've lived a life. And I think I went into it with all these preconceived notions of like, oh, these women are going to be gold diggers and blah, 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 blah. And like, that was definitely true of the early Bachelor because they were young girls
right.
who hadn't done anything. But I found myself just being, apropos of the gimmick of the show, just being like, oh, that's a nice lady. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm interested in her.
And I'm
rooting for her as a person. And also, man, I didn't realize how freeing watching something like this is for your brain. I wasn't thinking nothing the whole time. You know what I mean? I wasn't
yes.
trying to figure out shit. And I don't do that. I'm like, in my brain, I'm like, anything I watch must be for at least some type of educational purpose, even if
yes.
it's just to watch it to understand how the shot was so I can film something
right,
like that.
Right.
My brain was just completely off, and I was getting to watch MILFs be MILFs. It was
yeah.
great. So, yes, I will watch it.
You might like MILF Manor. If you're interested in MILFs.
Are they they're older gals that have life experience?
Yes, but MILF Manor is nuts, where they have these women come and they're like, you're going to date these younger guys. And then they're like, and then the twist is that the younger guys are each of the other MILF's sons.
Get the fuck out. I got to watch that.
And they tell the sons, you're going to go to this mansion and date these older women, and cut to their mom is there.
Oh my God. Yeah, I got to watch that.
Amazing.
So, Gabe, final thoughts on this season of television?
I think The Bachelor needs a huge shakeup. I enjoyed that they plucked someone from obscurity and didn't use, obviously they didn't have a choice, but they didn't use, that's not true. People wanted Gabby, Wendy's grandpa, right? Mm. They didn't choose someone who was already on the show. And I think that drew a lot more people in than they expected. And they used to do that, right? They used to just not use people from past seasons. They would like pluck someone from obscurity. I think that and those people would have interesting jobs. And I think that is something that they should consider doing more, because if you didn't like this person on the past season, why would you tune in? They think it's a draw, but I think it's actually become a detriment, because you think that that person is doing this to continue their career that they've already built from The Bachelor. And it was more sincere to think this was like a person coming on who really did want to find love and wasn't already part of The Bachelor machine, making money. Does that make
sense?
That's
a great point.
Yeah, I think that's that's the best point. And one of the things, the character that felt like the least sort of admirable to me was April, who does become then a consultant or whatever character. And I don't like that at all. Like, I don't like the idea, you know, like if someone like Susan kind of naturally becomes another figure. I mean, I can see that she's very charismatic. She didn't feel like she was coming in with that goal.
Right.
But April felt like she was coming in with the goal of like becoming an like elder influencer or something.
Yeah.
And I did not appreciate that vibe. Like, she seemed like, you know, she's probably a great person, blah, blah, blah. But like, I just don't want that as a goal for anybody. I just want to see real people being real people.
I also liked that there were less contestants. I think that's a really great move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
So normally there's a ton more.
Yeah.
That seemed like a lot of people.
Yeah. Jesus. This was already too many for me to fucking keep hold.
I know. I can't remember any names. By the way, I'm with you both on that. A, The Bachelor needs to shake up, and that B, there shouldn't be repeat contestants. And I have a way to solve both. I think that anyone who gets kicked off The Bachelor who does not receive a rose should immediately be put on ice and set adrift.
Well, it's interesting because
we can film it.
People are also starting to get savvy and realizing that they don't want something where they can't control the edit. So a lot of these people, usually Bachelor in Paradise was like the creme of the, you know, creme de la creme, which now there are ex-bachelorettes on there, which is pretty unusual. But they're starting to pluck people who were gone on night one, or people who they didn't even like. Now there's a thing where there's so many contestants on night one that they'll be like, this person's coming down to the beach. Here's them on the show. And like, a bit is like, here they are in the scene, but you never met them. Here they are in the group, but you never met them. And I think it's because those people are desperate to make something of their appearance. Whereas like someone who was already on is like, I got fucked by the edit. Why would I come back? And social media has changed it entirely.
Okay. Well, I want my whole hope for this show is that there's more of this kind of earnest Golden Bachelor vibe, where people are just sort of like real human beings. There are tears, there are laughs. There's a little bit more of a feeling of reality.
I think they're getting usurped. They were only game in town, and now it's Love is Blind. And
right, exactly. Like, so this is a good revival of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, that is the end of this recap pod. What a wonderful, as they say in The Bachelor, but I never say in my own life, journey it has been to be able to recap it. And I would love for the people of Faith the Nation to be able to follow the two of you and the wonderful things that you do. Where do they do that, Corey?
It's at Corey R. Forrester on all the socials. But my favorite thing that you can do to support me is go to bonuscorey.com. That is my Substack, where I write essays. I also produce audio dramas and whatnot. I'm currently in the middle of building my own little universe called Chickalookie. It's sort of my Lake Wobegon, as it were. So that's fun. BonusCorey.com.
I love that you used a really nerdy Lake Wobegon reference to describe what you're doing. That is vintage Corey right there. Gabe, where do they find you?
You can find me at Gabe S. Dunn on Instagram and at Dabby Gunn on TikTok. And all my shows are available wherever. Also, I'm currently fundraising for my debut feature film. So you can go to at you and I, you and me film on Instagram, and you can, there's casting calls. There's going to be like even more ways to help out. You can donate through the Film Independent and also directly to me. So there's like tons of ways. And if you follow it and you're someone who works in entertainment, there's job opportunities that I'm posting and things like that. So
if you need a big, dumb, stinky redneck, I work for scale. You know,
do you live in LA?
No, but I'm there all the time.
Where do you live?
At Chickamauga, Georgia, home of the bloodiest 2-day battle in the entire Civil War. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was like, I love his voice. I'm going to ask where he lives immediately.
So, folks, follow this movie. Support this movie. I can't wait to see it. And you know where to find me and all the things I do. I will be in Chicago on December 7th doing Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And I'm going to be at Carnegie Hall on December 15th doing Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And my mushroom article where I fucking tripped balls at a mushroom retreat in Jamaica, that piece, which is mammoth, I left everything on the field. Is that the expression?
Yeah.
That piece is coming out on December 4th. So please, it's in a Far magazine. And I really, really can't wait for you to read it because I truly, truly bared all of my souls in that piece. I really want to thank all the people that make this show a possibility. That's our wonderful producer, Andrew McGuire. That's the fantastic people at HeadGum. I want to thank Gabi Alter for our theme music. If you have any thoughts or questions, please email us at faiththenationpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's faiththenationpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to support the show at patreon.com/NagineFarsad. And don't forget to leave us an Apple review because that helps people find the show. And that is it. We will be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.